America. Welcome to yet another perspiring episode of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo D'Onofo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Sologi. Say hi, people.
You're going to have swamp ass!
Exactly. Yeah, I got it right now, actually. Look, I'm going to be honest with you folks. Remember last week I said the floor was lava?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still lava. And, in fact, I think it may have actually gotten worse. But, yeah, so this week on this show, you know what we're going to be talking about. I know what we're going to be talking about. Literally everybody here knows what we're going to talk about.
So
and we're going to talk about it. Quite a bit. Hashtag not the onion. But we're also going to have some other stuff. We're going to have some movie news, some Netflix stuff, some science news, a certain event that happened in Antarctica that may or may not be a foreboding of the apocalypse. We're not sure yet. We also realize that a lot of people are, frankly, absolutely friggin' insane. And also one bitch who's just dumb as a bag of hammers. You'll find out what we're talking about.
And wants to make everybody else stupid, too.
Yeah. Because if there's one thing we humans are good at, it's doubling down on our own stupidity.
We are.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so, start us off this week. Phil, what have you been up to this week, except for, you know, those rolling blackouts?
Yeah, well, there was that. I had that a little bit earlier. I'm not sure what caused it, but okay. Everything's good now, so hopefully we'll have a show for the rest of the night. So that would be a nice thing. Other than that, what have I been doing? Well, I watched the Castlevania series on Netflix again because it was awesome, so I watched it a second time.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really good. I don't understand why people are upset about it. Because people are idiots. But anyways.
I think it's just that they wanted more episodes.
Yeah, yeah. Probably.
I got to say one thing, though. How did Steve Bloom not get the role of Trevor Belmont?
I don't know, but
this is like the epitome of a Steve Bloom character that we have here, the way he's written.
Drunk, surly Trevor Belmont. Yeah, this is
we need more of this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Let's see what I've been doing. Listening to some audiobooks here and there. I'm still getting through Fallen Dragon. It's about 3/4 of the way through that. Probably end up finishing that this weekend. Mm-hmm. Been doing some miscellaneous gaming. Diablo 3 and is high on my list. Tekken 7 as well.
Yes.
Picked up Crash Bandicoot, the Insane Trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
So, been playing a bit of
there
that.
There goes your time.
Yeah, playing a good bit of that. And also got Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age. So
my steelbook arrived yesterday.
Yeah, it's I did get the steelbook version because I wasn't going to pay $100 for it.
That's what it's going for in Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
wow, yeah. I got a steal.
Yeah. So, yeah, didn't get that, but I got the regular version, and I'm perfectly happy with that, considering the game is exactly the same. So,
yeah, I just wanted the Steelbook to go with my Steelbook PS2 copy.
Yeah. It's a good game. Not entirely sure.
I mean, it's Final Fantasy XII, dude.
Yeah, it's Final Fantasy XII. I'm not sure how it installed 40.5 gigs in 30 seconds. Okay. Yeah, it's 40 and a half gigs.
I knew about the 40 gigs. I didn't know about the 30 seconds. What the fuck?
I think it just installed enough to get going, and then it was like
rolling
constant
install.
Yeah, doing rolling install.
That's actually something about a lot of JRPGs I've noticed.
Hmm.
They don't really install all that much. Most of them they only put you in so much so that it can get going, and then after that, it just kind of freeballs it.
Yeah.
They know you're not going to be exploring the whole world
right away.
Really,
so
right away.
Yeah, just bring it in slowly. And there's that. I'm going to be spending a lot of time with that game because I've only played about an hour or so a bit, and I like what I played. It's like an MMO, but you don't have to deal with annoying people. So
nope.
I have a love-hate relationship with that game because I absolutely adore the foundation that it's built on, blending Ivalice with the MMO Final Fantasy approach. And yet at the same time, I know it's the game that's, that you have to kind of blame for the current identity crisis that the franchise is going through as a whole.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. One thing I will say is that game doesn't fuck around.
No.
No, it does not.
It's like right at the beginning, it's like Final Fantasy 15 starts off with a bunch of bros in a car broken down at the side of the road.
It doesn't get better. 12 is the one with lightning, right?
No, 12 is
13.
That's 13.
That was 13. Okay.
Yeah. 12 is the one that starts off your squad of knights trying to go into rescue your king who gets murdered, and then you're all convicted as traitors and beheaded, and then, yeah.
It's Star Wars, except they say Judge instead of Darth.
Yeah.
How did I fucking miss 12?
Yeah.
Was I given birth then or some shit? What the fuck?
I think that was right around that time, actually.
Yeah, because it was PS2 when it originally came out. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was basically Final Fantasy XI's combat, but single player.
Yeah.
Now you think about it, that Final Fantasy series, at least since 3, has basically relentlessly ripped off the Star Wars.
Yeah.
I mean, Star Wars 5 is basically Star Wars, but if you were playing Darth Vader.
Final Fantasy 5? Yeah, I guess that. Basically that. So, that's good. And also, I'm annoyed with couriers because they lose my packages.
What did they lose?
It was Pride Day earlier this week, so I ordered the Babylon 5 box set, series for $60. You know,
That was a great value, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's like a 40-plus disc compilation with the Five Seasons, Crusade, and the movies. Didn't come with, there's two spin-offs that it doesn't come with. I'll have to get those separately, but, you know, for what it does come with, it's like, yeah, $60 for that. I'll take it. I order it, and then it says, okay, here's your shipping, here's your tracking number, and it's expected tomorrow. Tomorrow goes by, nothing. Expected yesterday. Check my tracking number, shipping label created.
Like, oh my freaking god.
Amazon sent it, and apparently the courier just somebody walked away with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not beyond the realm of possibility.
No, you remember the whole time, that whole thing with my copy of Kamen Rider Battle Ride War.
Yeah.
It had a week long layover in California after arriving in the States.
Yeah. Well.
I'm sure it got sampled.
Probably. Yeah. Well, this was coming from Brampton, Ontario, so, you know, no real excuse. But, yeah. You know, got in touch with Amazon, and they were really cool, and they sent me out a replacement, which will arrive Monday. So, if that one doesn't disappear as well. So,
yeah,
we'll wait and see. But, yeah, so that's been my week. How about you, Pat?
Well, what were you saying you were playing right before we started, though? Something on Steam.
Oh, Sweatshop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, what about you, Pat?
Stormblood I've been playing the shit out of and streaming when the mood hits me. And just kind of getting ready to watch Evo stuff. Unfortunately, I had work today, so I couldn't catch pools. I've got a friend down there from here in town that I think is still in. But there is still some pools to go, I believe, and I'm just looking forward to sitting down and enjoying some really good tech, and to be honest. I just want to find some good king tech to steal. I feel like I'm coming along really well with king, but I'm not there yet.
Well,
I can murk a Grandmaster Lee, but that doesn't necessarily mean I could make top 64 if I was down in Las Vegas right now.
Well, I saw some of the kings that were playing today, and quite frankly, you could probably murderate them.
Yep.
That makes me simultaneously thrilled and depressed.
So,
Because, I mean, I've won a de facto top 64 berth at Evo before.
Yeah.
Back in 05 when Apex League was still around. But I thought I had slipped quite a bit since then. But if kings that you can safely call inferior to me are doing well at Evo, then I'm really going to regret not going this year.
Oh, I'm not saying they're doing well. I'm just saying they're there.
They're there. Okay.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Josie's doing pretty well over there right now. Mm. Yeah, she seems to be pretty popular. But anyways.
Yeah. All right. I know why. Random wins.
Mm-hmm. Yep. For those of you who don't know, Pat, when he was streaming Tekken, went up against a Grandmaster and kicked his ass.
Yeah.
We got the whole thing on video.
It was a better match than round four implied.
Yeah.
All around, it was a pretty good game, and round one, I got murked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did. But he got smashed.
I eked out a win in round two, won round three fairly handily. Round four was a perfect, and I was just as surprised as anybody.
Yeah, he was, like, speechless for, like, a good 10, 15 seconds.
Yeah, the icing on the cake, though, was him refusing the revenge match.
Yeah. No salty run back. He's too salty for that. But, I think it's just because he locked up and took the Shining Wizard at the end. which I have gotten to the point where I do almost habitually against new opponents after I land Giant Swing.
Yeah.
You know, I've got the distance to get a good running start. They are not sure what to expect. Why not just run at them and do a running throw?
Yeah. May as well.
It does 40 damage. It's a put-away move.
Yep.
So. All right. Well, Teresa, what about you?
I have also been playing a lot of Final Fantasy XIV. I have also watched Castlevania. A little bit of a theme here. Really enjoyed that. I have not been flooded out, even though everybody else around me seems to be. Ha ha, suckers.
Yeah, we had a good night of Final Fantasy XIV a few nights ago.
Yeah, and I'm stuck again, and I need help. I was waiting for you to get off work. I'm like, motherfuck, when's he get off work? And I'm like, oh,
six
wait,
your time.
Podcast. Yeah, it was about 5 o'clock when I was thinking, I'm not getting anywhere with this duty finder.
So, after the podcast, we'll hook you up.
Yeah, as long as I'm not like dead on my feet, but I should be pretty good because I've had a lot.
I'll be drinking. I'm still going to be on.
I've had a lot of caffeine.
Well, that's the perfect combination now, isn't it?
God, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I've been interviewing. That's actually going pretty well. So we'll see how that shakes out next week.
It's just the one you don't want or one you do want?
There's two that I don't want and one that I really want.
And which one was this?
The one that I really want.
Okay, that's good. So,
yeah, it is. It just would be a change. I would miss a lot of gaming.
Yeah, I know.
That's all right, right? It's all right. But I've been watching a ton of TV. Other than Castlevania, I watched Poldark. I'm caught up, I think, with this season. And more BBC stuff, Our Friends in the North. Finally, I went over to the subtitle, whatever, subtitle.net or something, the fan subs or whoever's doing it. I don't care who's doing it. I got it. I stuck it in my Plex server so I could watch this because you can't get Our Friends in the North in the U.S. It's not available, period. Mm. So I've been watching that, which is great because I could not process their accents. Which was crazy. They have like the first Doctor and the ninth Doctor in there, and it's not really the first Doctor Who. I mean, he's obviously dead, but they got somebody to play him in some special way back when, and then they got him back to reprise the role of the first Doctor. So it's been interesting. And then what's his face that played James Bond? He was in there, the one with the crazy blue eyes. eh, I don't know. I'm bad with names.
Yeah.
But that's pretty good. And it's so, so much more TV. I couldn't even possibly think of it all. But that's really about it. Just trying not to get stuck out in floodwaters and not getting a lot of going to the beach done this week, though. We did get some, but not as much as we'd planned on. So, but it's all right. It's cooled off here. Sorry, Brandon.
Yeah.
It's going to here as well. It's just been terrible up till now.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. You know, it's the middle of July. August, when August comes, is the absolute worst.
Because August it's is not the dog days.
Yeah, because it's not only hot and humid, it's also really, really muggy.
Yep. And then dry, too. Like, all the grass starts turning to crunchy stuff, and you don't even want to go out and look up at Sirius because it's still hot in the middle of the damn night.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Isn't the big eclipse happening in August?
Yep.
People gonna be hot.
Oh, yeah.
It's gonna be hot.
You're gonna have swamp ass!
Exactly.
All right, who's up next? What?
That would be Chris. Chris?
So I also watched Castlevania. I've watched the first two episodes, and it's pretty good. I think when Trevor Belmont is not in the fray, it gets kind of boring a little bit because it's just so far it's been, oh, here are the demons terrorizing this town. And for me, like vampire anime and that sort of stuff just isn't all that interesting for the most part. So it's like when he's just getting drunk and fighting at a bar and teaching some of the local religious people that are just abusing their power some lessons, it's pretty good when that stuff's going on.
Yeah, you think the show may or may not have a problem with religion.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. See, I didn't get a completely anti-church vibe off of it. I definitely got an anti-the motherfucker who did the bad thing vibe off of it.
Mm-hmm. And sort of like the
everybody who
corruption of church.
Right, and everybody who followed along with it or tried to just not pay attention to it. So,
yeah. Yeah, when you got like the archbishop going on. See, it's a year later, nothing's happened. Fuck the devil. Then just shit starts going bad. It's like, you kind of asked for that.
Back.
Oh, and that was great. You knew it was going to happen, too.
Yeah. So I did find it weird, and he gets pierced with a big shard of glass, and he's still able to get up and look around. It's like, I think he'd be fucked up too much to do anything at that point. But yeah, I'm looking forward to watching the rest of it. It's only like four episodes. It's kind of weird. For Netflix, when they have these sort of big series come out, usually like 10 episodes or something like that, where you can spend like all day just binge-watching it, and here it's like 2 hours, you're done.
We've already confirmed the second season of 8 episodes is coming.
Yeah. It is. Really, I would just say, you know, it is animation, and animation is a lot more labor-intensive, so...
Yeah. As for other things I've been watching, I... Got some 99-cent rental deals off of Google.
Mm-hmm.
Rented Beauty and the Beast because I had not got a chance to watch that, and it's pretty good.
The original or the live-action one?
The new live-action one.
Ah.
It's pretty well done. There are a couple of weird moments where the CG and the live-action stuff doesn't go together well. It's usually when Belle or the Beast is looking out the window of the castle, and they zoom out, and it's like, oh, that's obviously a green screen on the CG, and it looks pretty bad, but for the most part, it's pretty good. I just want a director's cut that just shows the dude in the suit next to Belle the whole time, because that image is amazing, and that she basically has to act with this dude in a ridiculous padded suit just to mimic the size and of the beast is something that should be out there,
mm-hmm.
more than just a couple of screenshots. The other one I rented, I haven't got a chance to watch yet, is Fate of the Furious. I guess what it's called. The new Fast and the Furious movie.
Yeah.
I rented the extended director's cut or whatever it's called. It's like, if I'm going to spend 99 cents, I might as well get the full thing.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to watching that. I just did not have the time for that. I got my Steam Link and I purchased that with some of the Steam credit I got through the GameStop trade-in bonus I got. That'll be the last thing I order off of Steam, like physical thing. Because the shipping for that was $8.
Yeah.
For $15 Steam Link. And it's like, you guys are making a killing off of Steam. Can't you cut us a break on shipping?
Yeah. Well, it's usually 40, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. But, it's a thing that took about a week and a half to get here.
Hmm.
And I shipped from Illinois. It's two states over. Fuck off. They just didn't ship it until, I think, Friday or Saturday.
Hmm.
Got here on Tuesday. They just basically waited. Just said, nah, don't ship it. He's paying us $8. We're just not going to ship it yet. But I got the Steam Link hooked up. It works pretty well. I guess I should have expected it, but it essentially is just a mirror of what's going on the PC.
Yeah,
it just automatically defaults to big picture mode.
Mm.
But I could pull out of that and just show what's going on my PC or regular Steam, which I think is what I did. And I used that to essentially capture through the Elgato.
Hmm.
Which works pretty well. The only downside is you can't do audio through the PC because it basically tries to get that exclusive to the Steam Link.
Mm.
So like if I go through my audio settings and look, it'll just show muted on the headphones.
Mm.
So essentially what I did, I had a makeshift thing. I used an extension USB cord. Plugged in my headphones through that because they use like a USB dongle. Unplugged the headphone part of it and plugged it into my stereo for the TV.
Hmm.
So that gave me enough room. I ordered off of Amazon some extended 3.5mm cables for that.
Hmm.
That was cheaper than mono price because mono price wanted to charge $8 for shipping.
Of course they do.
And they didn't have the size I wanted. So I was like, you can get 3 or 10 foot. It's like, 10 foot's too much. The PC is like right next to the speakers. I don't need 10 foot.
Mm.
6 foot would have been perfect. And I was like, well, if I ordered one of each just to see what works, it's like, I just went off of Amazon and it saved me like $3. It's like, fuck, monoprice.
Where's the TV in this relationship?
It's, let's see, 3 feet from the PC.
Okay.
So it's like my desk is perpendicular to the home entertainment setup.
Hmm.
So, essentially I'm going to have a way to extend my headphone cable to the stereo and not have to do this little silly setup, but other than that, it works pretty well. I recorded some PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds with it.
Yeah.
Which works pretty well. I basically just play it on the PC, and it's running on the computer, and then I'm capturing it in the background. Hmm. So there's a couple points where in the video that I put up, I just say, hey, I'm going to double check that it's recording everything right.
Hmm.
I think one time I checked time just to make sure I'm not recording like 2 hours worth of this stuff.
Hmm.
But otherwise, it worked pretty well. Obviously, it's an online game, so lag is a potential issue, and I'm just doing Wi-Fi on the Steam Link for right now.
Yeah.
And it all seemed to work really well, so no real issues. I was able to sync up my DualShock 4, the one I was using for my PC, just directly to the link, which works really well. Funny thing, when I was playing PUBG previously, I have it sitting on my charger, just as like a, it'll be ready to go whenever I need to use it on PC. And when I die in PUBG, it's somehow still connected to the controller, and the controller just rumbles every time I die in that game. So it's like I have my headphones on, listening to it, and I die, and it says, on the
controller's just vibrating. Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's just ridiculous. Somehow it's sending data out to my controller, even though I'm not using it. I'm looking forward to playing more of, obviously, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds and using the Steam Link more to play some more of the more console stuff that I want to use a controller with. And PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds game I've been playing a lot. I think I've put about 12 hours into it already. Some like 35 rounds. I got 10 kills in 35 rounds. So I'm not doing well, though I'm playing a lot of pacifism runs. Means I'm trying to avoid combat whenever possible, which I got into the top 5 once. In the dumbest way possible. I'm going to see if I can find a picture of the map so you can follow along with this. But so I started... Okay, here's... Oh, that's a 5,000 by 5,000 pixel map.
Oh, my God!
That's Reddit. Jesus Christ, 4,000. Okay, here's a 1080p version. So I landed in the bottom left... or the southeast corner of that map, on the main island. There's that smaller island that is where the military base is on. That's Death Central, if you want to land there. And this actually kind of shows where it was similarly starting to sink to. So I landed off the coast on the beach, a couple of buildings, like 4 buildings in this little area. Towns like right nearby. I looted a big building, got some nice weapons, all that. I went down to one of the shacks, got in there, started looting stuff, saw somebody running around. I was like, I'm not in a good position to shoot this guy, so I'm just gonna hide in here and see if he does anything. Meanwhile, I'm in the play zone. That's the white circle that just tells you you're okay there. This is usually for the beginning of the game. You're generally okay for like the first 5 minutes or so, because it gives you time to get into it if you're way outside. And after a while, I was still going, still hanging out there because I was still within the play zone, no problems. It starts producing, and I'm out of it. And it needs me to get over to, let's see, what are the coordinates on here? It's sort of DM, right in the bottom corner of the beach there, right around there, DMEM, kind of, like that little hook there. So I immediately start running off the coast of the, on the beach. Very easy to pick me off if somebody sees me, because I'm on a beach. There's no, there's no cover. So I'm realizing this, and I'm realizing I'm going to go through a lot of, like, areas with buildings. So I'm like, fuck, I got to get a boat. I find a boat. I just drive all the way there on the boat, which is pretty great. I get shot once, not killed, and immediately just keep going. Just keep going, because occasionally just zigzagging my driving just to shake people off of me. Just leave the idiot in his boat go, because he's not going to hurt anybody. I get within the circle. I get kind of in the water, kind of just off of where this is. Zeroing in on, and get out, get in the water, and just hang out underwater. You can last a while with your breathing. You can stay fine with your lung capacity for a while. Get to the beach, heal up, and start trying to Skyrim my way up. Because this is kind of cliff side here on the beach, and it's kind of hard to get up. So I just try and find places I can jump up, and I'm here with the cliffs, so nobody's like paying attention down here for an idiot that's trying to Skyrim his way up.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this point, I'm about 10 left, 10 people left. I eventually find my way up there, and the circle is starting to zero in on the this little field area just off of the cliff. And I am up there. I can look around. I don't see anybody, obviously. I see a car, and I see a buggy. And I jump in the car, drive around. It's like 8 left now. Go into the circle. I start driving in circles. Around a rock, mostly. It's down to like 6. I lure out one guy who's shooting at the car. I'm kind of trying to run him over. But I'm just driving in a circle just to cause chaos and see what I can draw out. It's down to 5 now. And I get on the opposite side of the rock from him. Slow down the car, jump out. He comes around, shoot him dead. I'm the 4th. I get killed. And I'm number 4 in this match. I fucking drove around in a car at the very end trying to fucking do the stupidest thing I could.
Yeah.
And that's how I got into the top 5.
Yay.
Wow.
Fucking hid for 10 minutes, drove a boat, hung out in the water, Skyrimmed up a cliff, and drove a car into the top 5. That's how I do it. I kill one guy.
And that's why PUBG is amazing.
Yeah.
wow.
Yeah, so I did some YouTubing with that. It's a series I call Expert Play, which is me playing games I'm not good at. the first video I did like a year or two ago was me playing Hearthstone, getting my ass kicked in that, so I decided to revive it. Also, it was just to do a test run of recording this stuff. It seemed to go pretty well. And yeah, that's a game I've been playing a lot. I've gotten into the top 10 5 times now. Most kills I've gotten is like 2. I ran 2 people over pretty quickly around a bridge. I don't know why they didn't jump out of the way, because cars are loud. Like, sound is very important in that game. That's why I wear headphones and have the sound all the way up. Because you're listening for footsteps. Like, normal footsteps are just incredibly loud in that game. And so I've been in cases where I'm hiding up in the attic of a building, a house, and just listening to somebody walk through the house, look through a couple doors, then go out the front door. And not focus on me. So I can tell exactly where they are, what they're doing, just by listening. That's a really cool part of the game. And sort of listen to vehicles, all that sort of stuff. It's really important to be listening. So I'm curious to see how the Xbox One version does for people that don't play with the sound on or anything like that. Those people are going to be at a huge disadvantage.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a pretty cool thing to see.
Yeah.
But right now, that's something I just want to keep getting into and playing more of. And murder people as much as possible. As for other games, I played more of the Crash Bandicoot trilogy. I played some of the hardest levels in the original game, which is the High Road, which is sort of like, imagine if you're platforming in that game and you're on a rickety rope bridge.
Yeah. And you gotta worry about running pigs and...
Yeah, there's 3 different types of planks. There's a light brown plank that is solid, steady. There are dark brown planks that drop after a few seconds.
And then there are the non-existent ones.
Yeah, the ones that have like a big hole in the middle, and you can't touch those at all. And so you're trying to get through all of this, jump around, figure out the right distances to go, where you can sort of screw around a little bit. And then they throw some ice planks in there. So they're angled, so you're just automatically going. So those are ones you're like, okay, I got to do like a run here. And there's something weird that people know, so you can get up on the ropes. It's not easy. It's not. There's a good bit of leeway there if you're not paying attention. You can just run off either side because you're technically not on it, like centered on it. So it's not a reliable thing, but it's a good way to get past some annoying parts if you want to. Yeah, I've been playing more of 2. I need to get more time into 3, but so far so good on that stuff. It's a really good game. And hopefully, like the Sly Cooper trilogy, it sets up a new game
Yeah, be nice.
That seems like it should do that because it's charting everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On PSN for the U.S., it was number 2 for last month on one day's worth of sales.
Hmm.
In Europe, it was number 1 on one day of sales.
Hmm.
So it's very popular.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah.
That should be a great sign, Activision, to get their head out of their ass and say, hey, we should do, I guess not technically Crash 4, but just do a follow-up to this original trilogy.
Yeah.
So that'll be cool to see. I've also been doing some more YouTube stuff. Let's see. The free-to-play game I featured this week was The Tomorrow Children, which just announced they're going to be shutting down servers in November.
So,
I wanted to just see what that game is now because I played the alpha, I think it was, and it's changed a little bit there. But the style and all that is really awesome with that game, and I definitely want to play some more of it before it
goes away.
Before it goes away, yeah, and sort of maybe document, like, come back every week or so, just to play more of that. And yeah, instead of a VR video this week, I did the PUBG thing.
Hmm.
So that sort of took over for that. The last week I did some VR stuff. I played the new Spider-Man Homecoming VR experience, which is not really much of anything. It's like 5 minutes of tutorials and then nothing.
Hmm.
Like, it literally has buttons on the control scheme that you don't use. Like, hey, here's push the move button to switch web types. It's like, it doesn't ever have an option to do that. Because it just shows you, here's what this type does. Shoot some stuff up here on the rooftop.
Hmm.
It's like, it seems like they realized they had to get it out and had to cut stuff out of it.
Yeah.
Seems like there should have been more to it. It's like grading you on stuff, and I don't know what that does.
Hmm.
It's like, oh, you got an A on this one. It's like, okay. Did I get anything for that?
Nope.
Nope, you got an A. Let's move on. Here's the vulture. He's flying at you. I was like, okay, that's weird. Mm-hmm. Also played Mervels, a VR adventure, which is a third-person platforming game, essentially, with some action to it. Pretty simple, like, graphics-wise, but it's pretty fun for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one of those games that's not going to win any graphics awards, but it's pretty fun. It does a good job for sort of a third-person kind of VR thing. The other game I featured is... I forget what it was. The anniversary I featured this week is Persona 4, Turn 9.
Nice.
So I played some of Golden, which was a lot of fun. I was 22 hours into that game, so I was in the middle of Kanji's thing.
Hmm.
Trying to jump back into that after not touching it for like 2 years, it's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
Because I accidentally went to Yukiko's castle. I was like, oh, ready to go to the castle. I was like, oh, it's going to castle? Okay. I was like, yes, this is the end. I'm like, what?
Whoops.
How did I get out of here? It's like, I just reloaded out of it.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, the other game, the VR game I played was Pixel Gear, which is a sort of a gallery shooter.
Hmm.
But it's all kind of Minecraft-level graphics,
yeah.
Which works pretty well. It controls really well, at least. Let's see. Oh, yeah, last week I played Rocket League for the anniversary, for its second anniversary. And I got a crate to drop, so that was pretty cool.
Hmm.
And no assholes on the multiplayer stuff, so that's
nice.
Also good.
That was nice.
That's a good day.
Yeah. And nobody like trying to opt out of matches, forfeit matches in the middle of them. I had that the other day when I was playing Rocket League. We were down 2-0, and like a minute and a half left. It's like one person wanted to forfeit the match. Like, fuck you! It's 2 minutes. We got 2 goals to get. That's not much.
Yeah.
Anyway, just finish the damn match. It's a minute and a half. You can do it, buddy. Also playing some more competitive stuff in Rocket League, which people typing in the chat box, trade, trying to solicit trades while we're trying to do a match. Like, fuck off, you idiots. Go trade with yourself, you idiots. Yeah, because one of the new trophies and achievements they added is for trading with another person. Mm. Like, oh, don't suggest people to go trade stuff because they'll be more likely scammed by people if they don't do it with somebody that they trust.
Yeah.
And I can't do it with myself, like use like an alternate account on the same system. You can't trade that way. Hmm. You can't trade across platform either because all the item tables are this different between platforms. Mm-hmm. None of that stuff transfers really. There's another one for trading in items, which you trade in 5 of the same tier ranking system, whatever it is, the rarity.
Yeah.
You get one of the next up. So it's like, I only have a couple of dupes. I'm not going to get rid of stuff because I'm a hoarder even of digital stuff I don't use. Like, I got 2 of these cupcake toppers. I'm damned if I'm going to get rid of them just for a fucking rare cupcake topper. But some of the cool stuff they put in there, like the licensed stuff, they put in Rick and Morty stuff. So I have a few of those. I have a really nice boost that is sort of cel-shaded with like the weird universe portal things, like orbs popping out of it. So that was pretty fun to get. And I unlocked all the base goal explosions that you can have drop. Which is like, here's a green one, here's an orange one, here's a purple one, here's a red one. Like, okay. The crate dropped a special boost trail, which got me a trophy. Ooh. Having a rare item equipped and completing a match. Hmm. Which was cool. That game's still a hell of a lot of fun. Hmm. Just need people to be less assholes on the competitive stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That seems to be every competitive game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Overwatch. It's like, all the assholes are here, which means rest of the game is kind of fun. Because everybody there is not playing for fucking ranking points.
Yeah.
I'm being one of those assholes right there, now on Ultra Street Fighter 2.
Yeah. See, the secret there is that in Overwatch, I never play with my headset.
Hmm.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Nobody on consoles can chat or anything like that, like text chat.
Yeah.
I hear bad things about the PC version, in a sense, on that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can just type out their horrible things instead of just yelling on it.
Anyway. So. All right, so I guess it's my turn.
Yep, go ahead.
All right, well, first things first, Fire Emblem Echoes. I think I'm just about done with it. Or at the very least in the midway point. Because
it's a long game.
Oh, it is. And hard, too. Even with all the new stuff they've added, the game is still hard as balls. And the thing is it will occasionally just throw random shit at you. Like, you know, suddenly you'll have terrain where, you know, you can only take 1 or 2 steps at a time, you know, no matter what your what character class you may have.
Oh, yeah, I love the mobility-limiting terrain.
Oh, yeah. And then occasionally you'll get shit like a random wizard who can basically put an earthquake spell and then damage all of your entire party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's a jerk.
Yeah, he's a dick. And, but other than that, yeah, it's a lot of fun. A really fun game. Very enjoyable. And it is actually, one of the things I will give it is they've made the whole, you know, the whole thing very intuitive. So you would think that with a game like Fire Emblem, it would be complicated, and it's actually not. It does a lot to sort of make everything very crystal clear. I mean, obviously there's still some variation involved with like critical hits and, you know, whether or not your arrow is going to connect with the enemy or not. But other than that, not that difficult to understand.
Yeah. Fire Emblem kind of makes it easy to just focus on the basics, and if you want to get deep, you can.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to just do the basics, you can do pretty fine with that.
Yep, pretty much. But, yeah, so I've been playing that. Also, you know, I put down Tales of Berseria for a little while because I was focusing on Fire Emblem, but I'm going to get back into that. And, of course, oh, yeah, and also I had my review done for Valkyria Revolution.
Yep.
It hasn't been put up on the site yet, but it's done.
Yeah, there's just one little thing to look at, and then it's going to go up.
All right. But yeah,
I got that from Gamefly, and I sent it back immediately. So I was like, I don't have time for this. Just take it back.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, that. Of course, I've been reading. I mentioned, you know, last time I went to Barnes & Noble and got a haul. A couple of light novels, including, you know, the book version of Occultic Nine, and, of course, the first volume of Grimgar of Fantasy and Ash, which is basically the idea of what would happen if teenagers suddenly found themselves living in an RPG-like world, and how would they actually act? Which is that, in truth, they basically get their asses kicked. In fact, one of the main people in the party dies in the very first volume. That quick.
Yeah.
Basically, just put it in your head that, no, this is not Sword Art Online.
Nope.
There is no Kirito in this one. People are going to get their asses kicked.
Yep.
Actually, for the record, it's actually really good and genuinely funny at times. But I also found out, so the guy who writes Grimgar is a guy named Aoji Yumanji, and it's not his first light novel series. He's written, God, like well over 50 books at this point. All of them pretty much within the last 15 years. And I found out he's actually the guy who novelizes some of Sound Horizon's concept albums, which is pretty cool. So other than that, I got the DVD for first half of the complete collection of the original Dirty Pair anime from the 80s.
Nice.
Oh, it is. Like, it's amazing to watch. Yeah, it is a classic. And it's hilarious, too. Because those two always cause so much property damage wherever they end up.
Weren't they the ones who kind of made that a trope unto itself?
Pretty much. I mean, that's how they got their name, basically.
Yep. Yep.
So I'm on the fourth episode where there's one of the main people is a tag team of women wrestlers that are very similar to the Beauty Pair, which were the ones who actually inspired the creation of the Dirty Pair. So it's good. You know, I've got that. I also got the Blu-ray for My Hero Academia.
I want to start that.
Yeah. My Hero Academia is basically proof in how much movies have an effect on popular manga in Japan. Because that series is basically their answer to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I got that, and also, I've had it for a couple weeks. Turn A Gundam, but like I said, I have turned into absolute Gundam trash. I own it, and. Oh, yeah, and the floor is still lava. So,
yeah.
And it's probably going to get worse.
Yep.
Sadly.
Heat index got up into the triple digits. So. Oof.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had a bunch of rain here all week. And what was great is on days where it's kind of scattered showers, it stops, and then it's still just humid as fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's that moment where you're just standing there, and it's like, I'm sweating, and I haven't done anything.
Yep.
Exactly.
You go out, you press the button to unlock your car, and damn, you're drenched.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you got a swamp ass.
Mm-hmm. It's like, at least give me some body wash. I'll just take a shower in the rain.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's... You live in the South, it's one of those things you have to just learn to deal with.
Yeah.
Even though I've been living here for 30-plus years.
You still haven't gotten used to it.
See, I can't do the Ollie Williams thing again for that one because it just destroys my voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, anyway, so has anybody got anything else they wanted to add?
No, we're good.
Okay, then, well, in that case, I do believe it's time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And, hey, how about we talk about some computer and video game trivia this week?
Sure, okay. Why not?
All right, so who here has ever played the original Castle Wolfenstein?
Hell yeah.
I have.
Not Wolfenstein 3D, the original.
Oh, I have, yeah. On the Apple II.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. For those of you,
86.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, the original Castle Wolfenstein was the first game that actually had, like, talking. For lack of a better word, it actually
well,
spoke.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, I mean, we're going by, you know, by precedent, not exactly quality here.
Yeah. Well, you kind of got the idea of what they're trying to do, so.
Yeah. It's also pretty good of an example of what it's like, how old gaming was like when you really did kind of have to use your imagination for a lot of this shit.
Yeah.
Like, how can you tell those guys are supposed to be Nazis? They got swastikas on their heads?
Yep.
Yep.
All right. Who here knows who the creator of the original Castle Wolfenstein is?
I did know it, and now I forget his name.
Yeah, so I've read some shit about it, but...
His name was Silas Warner.
Oh, yeah.
Silas was one of the main guys at Muse Software.
He was Muse Software.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Hmm. Silas is basically the guy who's credited with as the main creator, designer, programmer of the original Castle Wolfenstein. And Silas was a bit of a character.
He was huge, for one thing.
Oh, yes. The man was almost 7 foot tall. He was about 300-something pounds. He was basically a literal giant. The man was large, and he pretty much left an earthquake wherever he went. And if you've ever seen pictures of this guy, he's just a mountain of flesh.
Yeah. But
like
super cool guy, though.
Oh, yes, he was. He was a man of many talents, on top of his, you know, his programming skills. Remember, he is the guy who basically came up with the idea of basically creating the first game to talk to you. Mm. And considering the type of software he had to work with back then, you got to imagine the type of Herculean talent and effort that required.
Yeah.
I think he actually spun that software out, the thing that did the speech in Castle Wolfenstein. Mm-hmm. I think he actually spun that out into its own program later.
Yeah. But, like I said, Silas was a man with some eccentricities, shall we say. That's the prime example. Amongst some of the two people, he was, at one time, he was an employee for a group for commercial credit. And two of the people he worked with were two guys known as Ed Zeron, who was a programmer, and then Jim Black, who was an accountant in the billing department. And Ed Zarin actually told a story of how he first met Silas. Are you ready for this one?
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. This is his exact quote. Silas is one of a kind. I'll never forget his first meeting him. Silas is a big guy, maybe 6'8" and say 320 pounds. Here's the picture. He was walking down Main Street in downtown Baltimore wearing a huge, sagging sports coat. He had a car battery, yes, that's right, a car battery in one pocket, a CB radio in the other pocket, and a whip antenna stuck down the back of his jacket. He was occasionally talking on the CB as he held two magazines open in one hand. One of Silas's favorite things was to read two mags simultaneously, kind of one inside the other, flipping back and forth.
Yep, he was a character.
This is Silas was kind of Silas was described as he was a nice guy and he was really a talented programmer, but he was he wasn't exactly very good socially. But he was a brilliant.
Well, he had to do all right socially. He had a CB.
Yeah, he did. But like that's with me and doing this.
Yeah.
You're disconnected from the actual person.
Mm.
See, if we were here in person, I'd be stuttering and slubbering worse than what I usually do. But so Silas did a bunch of things. One of the other things he did is he actually composed music, and he actually used the program that he did, his sound program, and he used it to compose music. So there are actually pieces of music he used composed that you can find on the internet.
Hmm.
He also worked on another game called Empire, which was a multiplayer action game, probably the first.
Hmm.
He even created the his own version of the game called Conquest. Hmm. And he also created Robot War, which is literally a programming game. It was literally a game in which it taught you programming.
I think I might have been exposed to this in school.
Yeah, you may have. Like I said, Silas was a trailblazer in more ways than one. But sadly, he passed away in 2004. Anybody who's curious, he actually was a fan of Wolfenstein 3D.
Yeah.
He actually shows up in Masters of Doom in one paragraph where both Romero and
Carmack.
And Carmack, yeah, were at a convention, and they asked him a question. He finds out who that is, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I love that game." So he was gracious and very, not very super. He was okay with his legacy. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, to be fair, the trademark on Wolfenstein had lapsed. That's why they were able to get it.
Yeah.
So.
That must not have been much of a trademark.
Yeah.
Early computer gaming.
It wasn't that valuable back then.
Yeah, trademarks were kind of iffy then. That's the reason why you could find like a shit ton of Space Invader clones back in the day. And still, from the record.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about one last week.
Yeah. And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Yay.
Yeah.
So, shall we move on to
the nonsense?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're not quite getting to that. We got two other stories we have to that are only tangentially related. But all right. So, first up, of course, is our asshole week. And this week, it is none other than Betsy DeVos, who announced that in order to better work on the policy for sexual assaults on campus, she is going to be consulting with MRA groups.
What could possibly go wrong?
Because that makes sense.
Yeah.
Not yeah, down yet.
She's working with both victim advocacy groups as well as men's rights groups.
Because
you got to get both sides of the issue. You know, and one side believes that the best way to curb sexual assault is to marry them. Because you can't rape them if they're married.
Fucking that's, Amway, bitch.
Yeah. And obviously, campus sexual assault is a huge problem. Especially because most of it, the vast majority of it, doesn't get reported at all.
Yeah.
And that's... is obviously a huge problem because then those people can go on to just keep living their lives and while the other person is very much
broken.
Just has real hard time getting past it.
Yeah.
For lots of good reasons. And she just continues to run all of this in the Department of Education as the stupidest person alive. That we could have put in this position.
Yeah. Well, she bought her position. So.
She did.
Yeah.
And she is very much of the sort of charter school part of the education process and has no experience with public education, actual colleges, all the loan stuff, all that. States have been suing the government because she's not allowed the, I forget what it was. It was some sort of money that was supposed to be going to states and colleges to help with loans, and they balked on it. It was supposed to start July 1st. Mm-hmm. So they said, "Well, fuck you, we're suing."
Yeah,
it's like 14 states, I think, or something like that, and DC. And DC's joined in on it, so. You know, it's great when DC joins the lawsuits. Fuck, we don't even really have colleges in DC. Let's go fuck up with all these other states. Her tour of train wrecks is continuing on.
So again, hashtag not the onion.
We can't bring this crap up.
It's kind of like you're thinking about doing a policy of policy of protection of lambs, and you're basically consulting with wolves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just basically
how that's exactly works. What's going on here.
Yeah.
It's that sort of obviously fair, that logic and fairness equals just bare neutrality.
No, it's no, not.
Not the case.
No. But to wipe the taste out of our mouths, we do have our hero of the week, and this time it was an Australian political correspondent.
Ullman. If you want to read this, this is his transcript of what's in the video.
Okay, so here we go. Here it goes. All right. Fortunately, it's not terribly long either. But all right, here it goes. The G20 became the G19 as it ended. On the Paris Climate Accords, the United States was left isolated and friendless. It is, apparently, where this U.S. president wants to be as he seeks to turn his nation inward. Donald Trump has a particular and limited skill set. He has correctly identified an illness at the heart of Western democracy. He has no cure for it and seems to just want to exploit it. He is a character drawn from America's Wild West, a traveling medicine showman selling moonshine remedies that will kill the patient. At this week, he underlined he has neither the desire nor the capacity to lead the world. Given the U.S. was always going to be won out on climate change, a deft American president would have found an issue around which he could rally most of the leaders. He had the perfect vehicle, North Korea's missile tests. So, where was the G20 statement condemning North Korea? That would have put pressure on China and Russia. Others, leaders, expected it, and they were prepared to back it, but it never came. There is a tendency among some hopeful souls to confuse the speeches written for Mr. Trump with the thoughts of the man himself. He did make some interesting scripted observations in Poland about defending the values of the West. And Mr. Trump is in a unique position. He is the one man who has power to do something about it. But it is the unscripted Mr. Trump that is real. A man who barks out bile in 140 characters, who wastes his precious day as president at war with the West since as a president at war with the West institutions, like the judiciary, independent government agencies, and the free press. He was an uneasy, awkward figure at this gathering, and you got the strong sense some other leaders were trying to find the best way to work around him. Mr. Trump is a man who craves power because it burnishes his celebrity. To be constantly talking and talked about is all that really matters, and there is no value placed on the meaning of words. So what is said one day can be discarded the next. So what did we learn this week? We learned Mr. Trump has pressed fast forward on the decline of the...
Yeah, that is part of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We learned Mr. Trump has pressed fast forward on the decline of the United States as a global leader. He managed to diminish his nation and to confuse and alienate his allies. He will cede that power to China and Russia, two authoritarian states that will forge a very different set of rules for the 21st century. Some will cheer the decline of America, but I think we'll miss it when it is gone. And that is the biggest threat to the values of the West, which he claims to hold so dear. That's it.
Yep.
Yeah.
No lies detected.
Nope. Don't think I can really add to that.
Nope.
No.
Pretty much sums it up completely.
I would also like to just people to keep in mind that this man was not elected by popular vote.
Yep.
He basically won by a kink, outdated kink in our system.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
We're just going to keep sighing for the next... We still have 3.5 fucking years.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do, because goddamn Pence is right behind him.
That is, if Pence doesn't go down with him.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. All right, and now it's time. It's time for it, folks. Time for the ride. Keep your hands on the bars at all times. Otherwise, somebody might try to grab you by the pussy.
Not the onion.
Not the onion. All right, so... This week, any question about whether or not there was any evidence of collusion between Trump and Russia was finally put to rest. There was.
Yep.
And you got Donnie Jr. to thank for it.
Yep.
So apparently the New York Times had originally come across these old, I guess they were emails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... I'm guessing either they sort of told they were legally required to tell Trump Jr. about it, or he found out about it somehow. And for whatever reason, he thought, this will go away if I just post it all online. No, that,
that didn't, no.
Not only that, but it basically implicated himself, his father, Jared Kushner,
pretty much the entire entourage.
Yeah.
And there's still like 3 more people that were involved in this, like 8 total. So
yeah.
Those people still have to be revealed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically what it is that this, just have to sort of put this. So the guy we're talking about is a Russian lawyer, I believe. Mm-hmm. Can't remember what his name was, and he managed to get a hold of Don Jr.'s email address. He told him, look, I've got some pretty damning information about Hillary, some dirt that could, that comes from some of the higher places in my country's government. Would you like to Would you like to? We could get a meetup. And Don Jr. basically wrote back and said, wow, that sounds awesome. We need to meet up.
Yeah.
Somehow, everybody in the Trump administration thinks nothing was wrong with any of this.
No.
They're trying to figure out the definition for collusion where he just slipped under the bar for it.
Mm-hmm. You know who's feeling really good this week? Sean Spicer.
Oh, yeah. Like, hey, guess what I don't have to do this week?
I don't have to deal with this shit.
Yeah, that was Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mike Huckabee's daughter, who also got her position through pure nepotism.
Yeah.
But,
the reason it got published, let's see, is from New York Times source. We were preparing to publish the story, asked the Don Jr. camp, asked for more time to comment, and then preempted us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing. That said, fuck, they're going to write this article. Let's get it out there first.
Yeah.
No one scoops us while we're around.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell?
Yeah. And, there's some damning lines in here. There's one, this is obviously very high level, sensitive mm-hmm. information, but is part of Russia and its government's support for Mr. Trump, helped along by Aras and Emin.
Mm-hmm.
I think are the two Russian lawyers or oligarchs or whatever.
Mm. Yeah.
Crown prosecutor of Russia and his father, Aras.
Mm. Yeah, it doesn't get much higher than that, other than Putin himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets funny too. Apparently so one of the things that Junior did is he also met up with a person who was formerly KGB. And it turns out that he works with an organization that basically work as professional smear merchants and, you know, dirt collectors, and supposedly they're the company that also managed to get the Pissgate dossier.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and awesome. I guess the CIA actually thinks now that there's a possibility that the piss tapes are real.
Mm-hmm.
So that's even out there.
Yeah.
Like, this might actually be a real thing, not just the weird internet thing.
Yeah.
And there's some great tweets here. One of the writers at New York Times had this whole big section where he's just baffled by this. He's like,
yeah, it's like, I
worked on this story for a year, and he turned it out. Like, so many people out there were trying to track this down, and it just got delivered on a tweet. What the hell?
That's a quote, by the way.
Yeah.
A direct quote. That is literally...
He followed so many dead ends on this thing, and the fucking idiot just tweets it out.
Just spews it onto the internet. When you can read it with no context, you can follow the entire chain and make your own decision.
Mm-hmm.
And, there really is only one decision to come up with in this case.
Yeah,
they're kind of screwed.
Yeah,
yeah. It's and now it's just that writer's tweets are a meme now. So
mm-hmm.
people take that and subtweet other things, which is great as well. Mm. Well, they got Mike Cernovich tweet on this stupid chain here. Don Jr. had to release the email himself because it doesn't support the lying Times conspiracy. That's why they never released the emails. That's because the idiot released them for them. Bill O'Reilly, Trump Jr. is smart to release emails. Tabloid guy set him up with Russian lawyer who promised Hillary dirt. She didn't deliver. That's the story. No, that he actually bought into this, set up a potential deal with the Russian lawyer. It doesn't matter if it wasn't there.
Yeah, no joke.
It's like when the cops set up secret deals with drug dealers. They don't have the drugs on them, obviously.
No.
They arrest them on conspiracy to sell drugs or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were in a sting operation, dude.
Yeah.
Governor Mike Huckabee. Liberal media in a frenzy because Donald Trump Jr. released all his emails. Should have just deleted them. We know that's fine with them.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
I get what he's talking about.
He's the dumbest politician that thinks he's a comedian. He tries to do jokes all the time, and they're just really fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Because he has he has no self-awareness.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's just basically a huckster. Like, really, he is. He is 100% a huckster. And probably just one of the absolute most shameless, too.
I love he still calls himself Governor Mike Huckabee. He's not a governor anymore.
He's not even a politician anymore.
Yeah. Mm. It says here on his Twitter, former Arkansas governor.
Yeah.
/ bass guitarist.
Mm. Oh, my God.
Oh,
are
yeah.
Are you effing kidding?
No, he really does. He has, like, a... Back when he was campaigning... It was back in the 2008 race. He had what people used to call the Chuck and Huck show, which is where he would, because you know his main guy that was going with him was Chuck Norris, and at Chuck Norris would get up and do a speech, and then after that, Mike Huckabee would basically just go out on stage with some local butt rock band and do some Skinner tunes.
Oh my God!
Back when he also used to have like a show on Fox, I think it was Fox News, and he had Ted Nugent on there one time, and Ted Nugent, did Cat Scratch Fever, and he was playing bass for him. So yeah,
and Pat's favorite person, the former Utah senator, is over on Fox News now, which is amazing. But looking at Mike Huckabee's Twitter feed is like reading your grandparents' Facebook. They're just making pun jokes.
Yeah.
CNN will preempt programming Saturday to show nonstop viewings of To Russia With Love.
Yeah.
Baby steps. Oh, wait, no. Congress fixing Obamacare is like having 535 wannabe chefs take their spoons and spices to the kitchen and, quote, fixing the pot on the stove. It's like those emails you get from your grandparents that you just delete as soon as you get them. You know they're stupid as fuck.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
My mom is way too bad with those things. She is way too gullible for her own good.
Oh, this is cute. I gotta send it to Brandon.
No, I mean, I live with them, so.
Okay. Yeah. Come over here and look at the screen. No. No.
You know, let me just give you an example. You know that altered photograph that supposedly showed Hillary shaking hands with Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, she thought that was real.
No, Brandon's mom. No.
It's like...
No.
Yeah. But anyway.
That's why you don't go onto your Facebook and click the latest post.
No.
You don't want to see what your relatives that you like have been posting recently.
Yeah.
People you otherwise think the world of, but...
Yeah.
I have to ask, what is it with shitty right-wing politicians having stupid bands? Like,
I don't know.
Mike Huckabee has a band. Joe Scarborough has a band. Frickin',
Jill Stein was in a band in the 90s that was as terrible as you think it is.
Yeah. Lee Atwater had a band back in the day. When he was chairman of the GOP.
Yeah,
but
I was recently watched...
Go ahead.
The Last Week Tonight episode on the... third parties from before the election.
Mm-hmm.
They were showing two songs of hers, and it was just terrible.
Was bad.
There's one part where it's just they couldn't figure out what the hell she was saying. She was like,
and understand this isn't exclusive to the U.S. either. Freaking Stephen Harper had a band.
Yeah.
As much as Phil and the rest of Canada would like to forget it.
Yeah, he's gone now. So.
Oh yeah.
Is it that they just have delusions of grandeur?
Probably.
And then they find politics and they make their delusions happen?
Yeah. That seems to be the case.
Yeah. I mean, lots of people that don't have talent start bands.
At least in Lee Atwater's case, he was actually pretty good. Yeah. It's just that, he ended up working for Strom Thurmond before, any of his musical aspirations could happen, and,
screwed him up there, so.
But anyway, it's been very entertaining all week. because it's like this was the smoking gun everybody had been looking for.
And now you see all the GOP people trying to spin it as hard as they can that it's not anything.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, here's a list of people that should go down as soon as the hammer falls for this.
Yeah. And they do bring up that thing, perhaps not unfairly, about Hillary and the folks from the Ukraine. For the record, though, considering the fact that, you know, Russia and the Ukraine have been kind of going at it for the last couple of years.
Just a little bit.
The idea that, you know, and that should kind of tell you something, that even then they kind of knew that Russia was helping Trump. Mm-hmm. So they decided they were going to get in and try and help his opponent.
Yeah, like Trump trying to say, oh, Putin would have preferred Hillary.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah, Hillary is at the same time too soft on Russia and a war hawk.
Yeah.
She is both extremes, and Trump is right in the middle.
Of course he is.
That was like the pre-election thing. It's like she is the extremes, and somehow Trump is in the middle there.
Yeah. For the record, yeah, Hillary was kind of a war hawk, but she's not president. So that's the other thing. Go ahead.
She's not crazy like Trump is.
No.
I would
not be worried. She wouldn't go to G20 and just say, did you guys hack our election, and believe a single word that he has to say?
Right. Yeah.
Also, that's something else I got to bring up. Hillary is not president, and Obama hasn't been in office for about, 7 months now?
But it's all
their
fault.
They're still blaming shit on both of them.
Yeah.
Yes, the reservations or whatever, his hotel room.
I love that. It's like, especially when they're trying to crowdsource Hillary for to fix the AHCA. That was amazing. Anyways.
But I just want to remind everybody, it took about a year and a half for Nixon to go down. So,
You know, we're not quite there yet. We still have a lot of entertainment to go through.
Yep.
Could DeVos go down somehow? Please, God, let her go down somehow.
Oh, I'm sure she will. Trump's attorney, on the other hand.
Mark Kasowitz.
He's having a bad week.
Oh, yeah. So, just some random dude sent him an email.
laughing prematurely.
Okay, so, basically,
should we just read the emails?
Yeah, I'll just read. I'll just read the story. Okay, so Mark Kasowitz, President Trump's personal attorney on the Russia case, threatened a stranger in a string of profanity-laden emails Wednesday night. The man, a retired public relations professional in the Western United States who asked not to be identified, read ProPublica's story this week on Kasowitz and sent the lawyer an email with the subject line, "Resign now."
Yeah, you should just read the email so they know.
All right, hold on. Okay, here we go.
It's just all screenshots of this stuff.
Okay, so first of all, this is the first email that the guy sent to Mark Kasowitz. It goes like this. Very simple. You don't know me, I don't know you. I believe it is in your interest and the long-term interest of your firm for you to resign from your position advising the president regarding pending federal legal matters. No good can come from this, and in fact, your name may be turned out to be a disparaging historical footnote to the presidency of Donald J. Trump.
We should note the time between these emails, too.
Yeah, so 5 minutes passed. And then
five minutes.
This guy is so wired. Mark Kasowitz is so wired.
All right, here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah. Oh, we're ready.
First email from Mark Kasowitz. Fuck you.
And he censors the you and fuck.
Yeah. 5 minutes after that, with a second email. 15. And you don't know me, but I will know you. How dare you send me an email like that? I'm on you now. You are fucking with me now. Let's see who you are. Watch your back, bitch.
Wow.
So he just went then full the guy, 14-year-old Twitter.
So that's within 20 minutes.
Xbox Live.
So the guy
within
who...
20 minutes, he said, fuck you, and now I'm coming after you.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
By the way, he sent the fuck you email from his iPhone. Okay, so the guy replies back. He says, "Thank you for your kind reply. I may be in touch
as appropriate." 6 minutes after the last Mark email.
Yeah. And then?
Let's see. 2 minutes later.
Yeah, two minutes after that. Blank, call me. Blank, if you want a conversation. I will have it with you. You are such a piece of shit. Call me. Don't be afraid, you piece of shit. Stand up. You don't call. You're just afraid. Call me. And then Kasowitz.
5 minutes later.
All right, he says, "I'm Jewish. I presume you are too. Stop being afraid. Call me, or give me your number and I will call you. I already know where you live. I'm on you. You might as well sell me, or call me. You will see me. I promise, bro."
Wow, these are like monosyllabic sentences. Just wow.
Yeah, this is from about 6:30 to 7 o'clock.
Wow.
That's a powerful half an hour.
It's like, yeah, that's like a meltdown in half an hour.
Yeah, I have a random feeling that how these happened is I think he finally, that Kasowitz basically just straight up snapped.
Yeah, he mentions in his apology, which he sent out publicly first before apologizing to the guy that emailed him.
Uh-huh.
Said, "Mr. Kasowitz," this is his spokesman, "who is tied up with client matters, said he intends to apologize to the writer of the email reference in today's ProPublica story. Why no excuse? The email came at the end of a very long day that at 10 p.m. was not over yet.
Mm-hmm.
The person sending that email is entitled to his opinion. I should not have responded in that appropriate manner," Mr. Kasowitz said. "I intend to send him an email stating that just that. This is one of those times where one wishes he could reverse the clock, but of course I can't." You should have sent the apology first, not the public statement.
Yeah.
He should have got somebody to match his tone of writing, because I ain't buying it.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, did I mention that Kasowitz's email address is publicly available? I'm not going to read it, but...
No,
I was going to say not for long, because I'm sure that account's been abandoned now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, they also have a great ending to this article. "Have you heard from Mark Kasowitz, or do you have any information about his firm? Contact Justin at," and here's his email, "or via Signal at phone number."
Yeah.
"Do you have any other stories? We'd like to write more about this."
Yeah. Yep. This is fucking gold.
And again, we need fire, lots folks. Of potential threatening words used here that could get him in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Terroristic threats. That is a jailable offense, people.
Yep.
By the way, we have to remind you, # not the onion.
Yep. No, this is real. This happened.
Oh my god.
All right.
This week has not been brought to you by the Onion.
Nope. Oh god, do we wish it was.
Yeah,
yeah. So here's another story. As everybody knows, the American Health Care Act is, despite the best efforts of a few people in Congress, is still basically dead in the water. And
I just put out the latest version of it,
mm-hmm.
featuring the Cruz Amendment.
Yeah,
from one Ted Cruz.
Yeah, like that was going to help anything.
Yeah.
Because there is one man who is universally despised in Congress, and it is Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: even the insurance companies don't want it.
Yeah, this letter is penned by...
the people who are basically professional parasites, even they find this too much to stomach.
And the president and CEO of America's Health Insurance Plans and president and CEO of Blue Cross Blue Shield Association.
Yeah.
They highlighted a couple things here. It is simply unworkable in any form, would undermine protections for those with pre-existing medical conditions, increase premiums, and lead to widespread terminations of coverage for people currently enrolled in the individual market.
Mm-hmm.
There's your thing.
Yeah.
Meaning, we don't make money if this goes through.
Yeah.
Some have asserted that a single risk pool, which requires insurers to place all consumers into one pool to determine premiums, as well as additional dedicated funding for high-risk individuals will make this work. That is not the case. The consumer freedom option establishes a single risk pool in name only. That creates two systems of insurance for healthy and sick people. It's too much work.
Yeah.
As healthy people move to the less regulated plans, those with significant medical needs will have to have no choice but to stay in the comprehensive plans, and any premiums will skyrocket for people with pre-existing conditions.
Hmm. Yeah.
And last one, as a result, millions of more individuals will become uninsured.
Hmm. Yeah, this is sort of their way of saying, yeah, we need you to keep this going for a little while because we're still making our resumes because we're going to be out of a job in about 10 years.
Yeah. It's like, hey, we'd like to keep making money.
Yep.
And you guys trying to get rid of as many people from our money-making venture is not a great idea.
Right.
So can you guys please work on this a little bit more?
Yeah.
It becomes like an office space kind of thing. Like, yeah, I'm going to need to keep working on Saturday.
Yeah. And then I'm also going to need to come in on Sunday as well. Yeah. Don't worry, your day is coming, you fucking parasite.
So yeah, doctors, nurses, the hospitals, the patients, and our insurance companies are against this. So
yeah.
Everybody that's for it, the GOP, and billionaires, rich people.
So, yeah.
Fuck those people.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of fuck these people, so the House this week nearly but didn't. It failed. I want to point that out. It failed. It did not go through. The House
Five votes it failed by.
Yeah. House nearly passed a bill blocking transgender soldiers from transitional medical surgery or treatment.
Mm-hmm. Shocking. Yep.
It was 209 to 214. 24 Republicans joined the Democrats to kill this.
Yeah.
Well, at least some of them have, probably some of them have a conscience. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or, they might want to get elected,
Yeah. And again. They looked in their little crystal ball and was like, yeah, this might not prove politically expedient.
I wonder how the vote broke down by age of the Republicans.
I don't know.
Oh, I'm not sure. See, the weird thing about the Republicans is that although they've been greatly diminished now, some of the really old ones are still part of the whole Rockefeller establishment. So, the more middle of the road types. So it's possible some of them were in that. But it's also completely possible that they were just like, this is going to bite me in the ass later.
Yeah.
Midterm
elections are coming up, and I would like to get reelected.
Yeah.
Yeah. The person
Have you seen the idiot we got in the office right now?
Yeah. Yeah, so somebody here says the 24 Republicans voting against the Hartzler transgender amendment look to be mostly moderates and vulnerable members.
Yep. Mm. Told ya.
Yeah.
I forget who set this up, Hartzler. Missouri Rep. Vicky Hartzler.
Yeah.
So people in Missouri, keep that name in mind.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to support the troops.
Yeah.
No matter who they are.
Yeah. Just as an aside, I do really wish that the Rockefeller wing of the Republican Party would make a resurgence. Because, the Republicans didn't used to be like this. Before the late 70s, the Republicans were pretty moderate on a lot of stuff. And then fucking Newt Gingrich got involved, and... And now...
This next story...
Again, we have to remind you, hashtag not the onion. Guess who recently confirmed their plan to run for a Senate seat in 2018? Kid Rock.
Yep.
And real name, Robert James Ritchie.
Yeah. From Detroit, by the way.
What name is that?
We have to remind people that sometimes because You know, Kid Rock's been trying to do the Southern Rock shtick recently, but he's actually from Detroit, Michigan.
Recently?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like 10 years ago.
Yeah. He's not good at it.
No.
He's not good at the whole music thing, to be honest.
Yeah. And he's trying to sell his campaign merchandise through a Warner Brothers registered website, which may not be
legal.
He says, I'm not signed to Warner Brothers, which simple fact-checking would have revealed. I have recently worked out a unique deal with BMG, Broken Bow, or Bow, CAA, I think it's two A's, I don't know how many said, and Live Nation to release music on my terms. So I guess he'll be the only politician that won't steal campaign music. He'll just write it himself.
He'll just write his own. And it will be just as terrible as you would imagine.
Yeah.
He's running against Senator Debbie Stabenow, Democrat.
So we would like to welcome the next coming senator, Debbie Stabenow.
Well, he's going to win in Michigan. Let's be honest.
Yeah, he will.
Well, anyway, next up, everybody remembers that rather tragic Manchester terrorist attack that killed a bunch of young girls. It was awful. Ariana Grande, of course, made a really great benefit concert. Helped a lot. And she's now been made an honorary citizen of Manchester after now, in light of both the attack and her efforts for charity efforts to help relieve victims.
Yeah. First person to be an honorary citizen of Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good on her for not backing down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fuck terrorists.
Yeah, fuck them. This is how they thrive. They want you to be in terror.
Mm.
In the name.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Manchester City Council leader, Sir Richard Lees, said it would have been understandable if she hadn't returned. But instead, she, as an artist and performer, was determined that she would not perform again until she had returned to Manchester to perform. Doing so, she brought comfort to thousands, raised millions for the We Love Manchester Emergency Fund, and became the first patron of that fund. Mm-hmm. That's why I propose that Ariana Grande is made the first honorary citizen of the city of Manchester.
Mm.
Seems like a good choice.
Yeah.
Good. Sounds good.
For her. Yep.
She did good, and she's a hero, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Even if, you know, some assholes think that those girls got what they deserved. And I'm not just talking about Islamist assholes either.
No, you're not.
There's that dickbag, Theodore Shuibot, who basically went on and said they all got what they deserved, Daria Granda should be executed, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
At least it's a big 180 from licking donuts.
Yeah. Gotta give her that.
Yeah.
I'm not even gonna ask.
No.
Oh, it's not. It's exactly what it sounds like. Basically, she went
into a thing a stupid teenager would do.
Yeah, she went into a bakery, and I don't know if she thought she could get samples or something, but she picked up one of the donuts that was on display and licked it. See what it tasted like. And no, she didn't buy anything, but she was being a stupid kid.
Even now, she's only 23, so still a kid.
Yeah, but I mean, she's grown up. You know, unlike, say, Justin Bieber, who's still an asshole.
Yeah, we're sorry about him.
You will never be able to apologize enough.
Well, we also gave you Celine Dion, so we don't have a great
And you also gave us Bryan Adams.
Yeah. Hey, now. No picking on Bryan Adams.
Hey, Bryan Adams is all right.
And then you also gave us Rush and Budgie and Triumph and a bunch of awesome power trios, so we forgive you.
David Duchovny.
Anyways.
Who also has a band, I heard.
Yep. So, anyway. Nevada.
Oh, yeah. So, now to something a little bit lighter. So as everybody knows, weed is now legal in Nevada.
Yes.
In fact, last I heard, there's like, I think, 14 states now where it's either legal or decriminalized in some manner. But apparently they did not necessarily have the supply to equal the demand, because they're just about out of it, and it's basically gotten to where they need, they're just about ready to declare a state of emergency.
Now, you see, this is where you have to...
Oh, I need to mention, pot only became legal 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, and they're already out, almost running out.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is where you would have to start looking at the people on the corner, because, you know, if you need supply, that's not hard to find.
Yeah, they say here, court ruling has made it impossible for the 47 dispensaries to restock without alcohol wholesalers.
Yeah. See, that's one of the things, the way that they decided they were going to distribute the stuff to the weed stores.
Yeah.
Was that they were originally going to let basically just give the sole rights to the people who do the wholesale for alcohol.
Yeah. Considering the fact, 18 months exclusive.
Yeah,
rights.
And if you think about it, it does kind of make sense logically, since, you know, alcohol being also sort of having
controlled
sort of
substance.
All, yeah, and you know, they sort of have the experience of
logistics
stuff. And stuff like that, and being able to protect it, and
yeah,
and it makes sense. But the problem is that they basically just can't keep up with the demand.
Nope.
Yeah, because they didn't know what demand would be.
Yeah,
ended like up being a lot of, you know, people lining up outside of buildings.
Vegas. That's my answer to that.
Probably should have
Vegas
seen
and
that.
Reno. Those are my. Yeah. One of them has gambling. The other one has hookers.
Yeah.
See, the governor has endorsed the Department of Taxation's state of emergency, which will allow Nevada to adopt temporary regulations regarding the licensing of marijuana distributors.
Yeah,
it essentially allows them to break that deal. So
yeah, so they can get supply in,
get new deals going, and trying to figure out a solution.
And here's the shock. And of course, here's the other thing. They haven't really seen an uptick in crime or anything.
No. Shouldn't.
In fact, from what I've heard, it's gone down.
Well, yeah. Pot doesn't really make you aggressive.
Or active, for that matter.
So,
I mean, it's kind of
nachos and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to want to, like, I don't know, plan a casino robbery or something when, you know, you're sitting on the couch and contemplating the benefits of string.
Yeah. Good point.
So here's part of the problem. The current laws, you have to be a liquor distributor to transport marijuana, and none of those people have licenses to actually do it yet. So people who are licensed to distribute medical marijuana already meet requirements for transporting pot, including background checks, but none of the 7 alcohol wholesalers that have applied for licenses have been inspected by the state to determine if they meet the criteria, unless none have obtained a distribution license.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like, it's legal, let's get it out there, and well, nobody can do anything with it.
Nope.
It's like the bureaucracy is even slower than demand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, from what I've heard, this is kind of what it was like when Prohibition first ended. They had like a year or so of fine-tuning that they had to deal with. Because, you know, like, and it took a while. I mean, you guys have seen old episodes of Andy Griffith where they had to deal with, like, moonshiners and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were still dealing with that shit way into like the 1950s. So
yeah.
And I mean, they're technically moonshiners are still around, but
yeah. It says here, even as we attempted to schedule the final facility inspection for one of the applicants this week, they told us their facility was not ready and declined the inspection. The state stands to earn millions from sales of recreational marijuana, but the tax collection data won't be available for several weeks. According to the Associated Press, more than 40,000 transactions were reported in the first week, according to St. Martin.
Yeah. Nevada's gonna, they're going to see that tax revenue, and they're going to be like, holy shit.
Yeah, this is a good thing. So
we're still waiting for football and hockey teams to get here.
Yeah.
Well, now we can afford them. All right, well, And next up in a story that shows that, you know, humans are kind of assholes, there was a startup company that came up with the idea of sharing umbrellas. Because I don't know if you guys, but I always forget to bring my umbrella with me.
It's like in the trunk of my car, and I don't always want to pull it out.
Yeah. Because for just some reason, you know, we just sort of forget to bring it with us. So they had the idea, why don't we do a startup where we could get our umbrellas and people could share them, you know, for a small fee.
Mm-hmm.
This is in
China. So
these are a bunch of Chinese assholes.
Yeah, so, and a few weeks later, and they're just about to go bottom up because nearly all of the 300,000 umbrellas they provided have been taken.
Yeah, so they charge use an app on their smartphone to pay a 19 yuan deposit fee for the umbrella, which costs about 60 for the umbrella itself.
Mm-hmm.
So effectively, they got one third of the cost for these umbrellas.
One third of the cost of the umbrella.
So they can probably get about 100,000 back if they want.
Yeah,
but those are just going to get really stolen again anyway.
Yeah, but I don't really think they thought this through because, you know, what the hell was that? Jesus Christ! Anyway, one of the first
something.
I really don't know what the hell.
Are you riding down the mighty Mississippi?
I think that was a moped. Jeez. But yeah, we all know if we go to a hotel room, you forget your umbrella, you happen to see one there, it ends up in your luggage
somehow,
regardless of what you do. It just ends up there, even if you don't mean it to. That's where it goes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, this
umbrellas are usually...
This really differs from, like, bike or car sharing services where you can put GPS stuff on them so you can know exactly if they're stolen and then report it.
Yeah.
I'm betting they don't do any of that for this.
I think they probably forgot to do that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's umbrellas. Like, who's going to steal them?
Yeah. free umbrella.
Oh, 19-watt umbrella. Yeah.
Hey.
Hey.
Anyway.
And they all got the same design, so you can tell who's stolen one.
Yeah. Well, they're going to be collector's items now.
Oh, well. Well, all right. So, moving on in tech news. Amazon has started rolling out their own Geek Squad people so that they can help set up tech in homes.
Yep. This is a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
Got a little bit of a problem with the threshold of some of the stuff that they're selling with installation. Because you can buy a $6 light bulb and have a $150 installation fee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of need to maybe just look into that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it seems like this is mainly designed for smart home stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Not necessarily like, oh, light bulb.
Well, smart home, smart light. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So, but it's good. This also applies to stuff. You can get laptops that have this kind of stuff on it as well. So that's never a bad thing.
Yeah.
If you're new to computers, you know, there are always people who just want somebody else to do it for them. So
yeah.
I mean, if it costs like $100 just to have them set up all this smart home stuff, get it all working. That's a lot better than trying to figure it all yourself for a couple days.
Yeah. And Best Buy stock dropped like, 13%.
Really?
That's a bleh. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm guessing you don't have to worry about having that shitty car parked outside your house.
Oh, God. They still make people drive those? That
yes!
Pieces of shit.
They still have them parked outside Best Buy's.
Oh, God. No wonder they can't keep employees. I have to go to somebody in that. No, thanks. Anyways.
Oh. Next up. I think we're all fans of Cards Against Humanity, right?
Yeah.
And I love this story.
Yeah. So, Cards Against Humanity is like one of those ideas where you're surprised no one came up with it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they kind of did, but it wasn't the done as well as this.
Yeah.
So it's apples to apples, but
yeah,
that's just designed for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You can make it dirty if you want to try really hard. But
yeah,
this is just like, yeah, hey, what if you lean on
this? All in on the filthy.
Yeah. So they actually came out with a new form of Cards Against Humanity called Cards Against Humanity for Her, which is literally the same as the regular game, but it's an extra $5.
And it comes in a pink box.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same game. It's just lampooning the way people market products to women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this has been really going on since the 80s. I mean, with the toy store, the toy aisle.
Yeah. And just the pictures they have here is just great.
Yeah.
Pairs nicely with a glass of chilled white wine. There for you when you need a good cry. Listens to your problems without offering any suggestions. And she was like, there's a woman that's exercising on boxes of this thing. There's a woman who's just shaving with a card.
Somehow.
Yeah. Hydrates, lifts, and revives.
I love this last bit. I love this last bit. Feel confident, comfortable, and in control with Cards Against Humanity's most absorbent pack yet.
And the FAQ is great.
They're calling it the Period Pack.
Yeah, they released two more packs called the Period Pack. It's $5. It's like actual new cards. The other one is, I forget what it's called. I think it's about poop or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The FAQ, what is this? A stylish game created just for her. It's trendy, quirky, and only takes minutes for us ladies to understand. The cards are soft and won't slip out of your hands. Perfect for margarita nights. What's different about it? The box is pink, but the cards are exactly the same as the original. Cards Against Humanity. So random. But why is it $5 more? Because we're worth it. I already have Cards Against Humanity. Do I need this? Treat yourself. Say yes to the girls. Find the best color to wear for your skin tone. Stay in with the girls. Is this product really necessary? It's adorable. It's cute. Self-care. Take time for yourself. Chia Bowl. Perfect for your coffee table or bookshelf. Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. Brunch. Cheat day. Nasty women. Yes, queen. Good vibes only. Activated charcoal. Gender reveal party. Avocado meals. You're such a Miranda.
Just random words.
Yeah, you're such a Miranda. Paleo.
Oh my god.
When I inevitably purchase this without reading carefully and then find out it's the same card as the original Cards Against Humanity, can I return it and get my money back? That color looks great on you.
No. Oh my gosh. How did they not say cheaper than a pack of sanitary napkins or whatever the fuck?
And basically they're donating all the profits from this to Emily's List, which is a charity that is helping to get more female candidates running for office, which is obviously a great way to spin this into a good charity.
Yeah.
And obviously this page is just as great as it always is for Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah. Yeah, I just love how they just owned it. This could have gone incredibly badly.
Yeah.
But they just, you know, owned it, and it became very apparent on what the actual intent of this was.
Yeah, they do a great job, and I'm sure their Twitter account will be posting emails they get from idiots like they always do.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, the Period Pack and the Weed Pack is the other new one, which is apparently...
Oh, nice.
Oh no, you gotta put the I'm over 18 pack contains no marijuana option. Yeah, 30 new cards about weed. Profits go to the Marijuana Policy Project to regulate and tax marijuana like alcohol. The Period Pack, best played every 25 to 35 days. Lately scented to help prevent odors. Surprises for your special time. And the picture for it's great. I'll click on the store, get store.cardsagainsthumanity.com. I'll put the link in the chat. Just go down to where the Period Pack is, because it's somebody just pouring this weird blue liquid on cards.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Cards Against Humanity's got you covered with our most absorbent pack yet, the Period Pack.
Christ.
The Weed Pack. Hey, man, I know I was supposed to get you the website content for the Weed Pack, but I got really high, and this is all I have so far.
Yeah. These guys are great.
Yeah, cannabis, also known as marijuana among several other names, is a psychoactive drug from the cannabis plant intended for medical or recreational use. Something about mass incarceration. Jeff mentions go to marijuana policy project. Oh, Taco Bell near me. That's the final point.
Oh my god, the 90s nostalgia pack. I didn't see that before.
Don't have a cow, man. The 90s nostalgia pack is a totally tubular crossfire of fresh-making jokes. Once you pop, the fun don't stop. 30 cards about the 1990s, a popular decade. Too sexy for its shirt. There's the Jew pack. Fun fact, 100% of the Cards Against Humanity writers are Jewish. Can you believe it? A Jewish comedy writer? Anything's possible in 2017. Did you get enough to eat? Are you sure? There's a food pack. Goodbye, food. Goodbye from Mount. You are on your journey now. All people know that food is divided into four categories: chomp chomps, snick snacks, crunchies, and yellow circles. In the U.S., food is a big part of everyone's daily lives. When people don't have enough of it, it causes a big problem. Here's a question about the topic, food. Well, there's a sci-fi pack.
They got a lot of
fantasy pack.
Fantasy pack, science pack, geek pack.
Internet pack, World Wide Web pack.
With a Rickroll.
And
holiday packs for...
Some of these things they've given out for like their holiday stuff. Yeah, like 2012 holiday pack. I did one of these. I think it's the 10 days or whatever of Kwanzaa. That's exactly what the event's called. And they ask you for a couple bits of information. So, like, my name is a card that I got. So, that's cool. There's other ones, like, just fill in the blanks, like, about you. So, it's, like, a good way to get people to give you the real answers about you.
Yeah.
Oh, your shitty jokes. Your shitty jokes contains 50 blank cards to help you make your deck objectively less fun to play. Because with the regular packs, you get a couple of these blank cards you can do whatever with. Usually I see like Will Wheaton signs them for people.
Just adds his own thing.
So if you go to a convention, you can take them up to him and he'll come up with something stupid and put it on there for you. Sign it.
I like the artwork on the World Wide Web one. It's a broken image link.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of their best stuff they put out is the bigger, blacker box.
Yes.
Bigger, blacker box is a tremendous empty storage case big enough to hold all the cards we've ever made, with room for even more, up to 2,500 cards. If the size of this box does not impress you, nothing will. They put out a big trailer alongside this, basically just alluding to black dick.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
That's why they call it the bigger, blacker box. No matter how big we make this box, it will never be big enough for you. What is this link to? It just pulls this thing. It says, please do not buy this product. It's just a GIF. Just scrolls across. 69 inches long. No return.
Oh my
$100.
God.
Jeez.
Oh, I think you can actually buy this. Oh, God, you can actually buy it. At least to give you... Yep. It says, what have you done? There's like a box here that says, what have you done? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's when you just accidentally add it. It's like, what have you done? Oh, there it's gone.
Mm.
I just like they made a 69-inch box you can buy.
All right.
Doesn't even come in any cards.
Yeah. Okay, so in yet another story of humans are assholes, specifically... Well,
stupidity.
Yeah. So a woman was at the Los Angeles Art Museum, and she was trying to take a selfie.
What could possibly go wrong?
It's actually the 14th Factory, which is what the museum is called. And while she was trying to make a selfie, she basically knocked over a display and did about $200,000 worth of damage.
Yeah, it looks like dominoes falling.
As you do.
Because they didn't secure these pedestals to the ground. So she goes to... She goes to kneel over and sort of take a selfie over her shoulder, but falls over backwards, hits one. It just keeps knocking over the others.
They got video on the link, too.
Yeah. This gallery, this particular one, is all about crowns. So there's just crowns made in different ways. Not really exactly anything of real merit was lost.
Oh.
But obviously it's about $200,000 worth of three of them, I think, were broken.
Yeah. And for those of you who are watching the video, it's the woman up in the upper right corner. She's the one who, yeah she's there, and then she falls backwards, and it's just a domino effect.
Secure your shit, folks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you've got exhibits full of hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of items, secure it.
Now, where did this happen again?
Sure. LA.
Where they get earth fucking quakes?
Yep.
God!
Somebody's asleep at the switch over there.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, obviously they haven't had any earthquakes yet, so that was another thing they were thinking about.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think LA's gotten earthquakes in a while, actually.
I think this is just
or at least not serious ones.
I think it's just a temporary exhibit, so it's open until the end of the month.
It was only
going to
be there a couple days. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they weren't thinking anything long term about this, which obviously led to them losing a bunch of money.
Yeah. Well, you can't ever anticipate the stupidity of humans.
No.
So. Yeah.
All right. All right. Well. Moving on in science news, or
you can assume it, but you won't know how it'll manifest.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So up next in science news, or possibly Armageddon news,
with the apocalypse.
Yeah, a gigantic iceberg about the size of the state of Delaware broke off of the Antarctic ice shelf.
Is twice the volume of Lake Erie.
Yep.
Yeah, seven times the size of New York City. That's huge. 2,300 square miles.
Yeah. Now, for the record, they're still not exactly sure what caused this thing to break off. Climate change is a possibility. It's also possible that it just weighed too much and finally broke off.
Yeah, so scientists aren't really going after why just yet. Mostly the scientists that are following this stuff is basically excited. Because we get to see what is going on with this and how it's going to affect things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to raise the water level because this was already in the water.
It's already there, yeah.
So that's not going to be an issue, but...
Yeah, now they can go look at the
boat. Yeah, and see sort of what the happens with the iceberg. So it's not going to pose any threat to shipping because it's just sitting around the Antarctic.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But it removed more than 10% of the ice shelf, which I guess that was the fourth largest ice shelf in the Antarctic. Now it's number five. but they don't know if it's going to eventually hasten the flow of glaciers behind it or anything else. So just more of a thing that scientists can track and just see what the hell is going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing they're especially worried about is all of the methane that's apparently in the ice shelf.
Yeah.
If it ever got out, because there's a ton of it in there. And, everybody knows, the sort of like the hole in the ozone layer that was over there has started shrinking and has been shrinking for a while. Methane isn't going to help with that.
Not at all.
Probably open it right up again.
The International Olympics Committee recently announced who's going to be hosting the 2024 and 2028 Olympics. It's going to be Paris and Los Angeles, so exactly which one will be which.
Not necessarily in that order.
Yeah, but they haven't decided which one is going to be which just yet.
Yeah, they basically both were putting in bids for the 2024 games.
Yeah.
And they apparently liked both of them so much, they said, well, you guys are going to get the next two. And I guess potentially we're going to get the Los Angeles is going to get the second one. because they want to be as far away from the Trump presidency as possible.
That would make a lot of sense. Of course, we don't know. 2028? Yeah. Don't know what America will look like in 2028.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Los Angeles might not even be there anymore.
Or it broke off and become its own nation state.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Island state.
Yeah. That we would have to escape from.
Escape from Los Angeles.
Yeah, that movie was kind of... But,
it kind of was.
Anyway, so, of course, everybody knows the next Olympics are going to be in Japan. Tokyo, to be specific.
Yeah.
Yep.
2020.
Hopefully, you know, a certain someone won't meld with a certain someone and try to eat the whole city.
Hmm.
I'm trying to make an Akira reference here.
Yeah.
And it's not working at all.
No.
Yeah, it was going a little Godzilla there, actually.
Yeah, so...
Well, if you've seen the movie... Anyway.
Yeah, like 20 years ago or something.
Well,
Mitch, get that thing on DVD. What are you doing?
You know, we should. I mean, he's got the t-shirt, surely, that came with the DVD, right?
No.
No?
No.
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 I bought it at Fred Meyer.
No. Oh, okay.
If it's the shirt I'm thinking of.
The blue one with the... No.
All right, so next up, so those of you who used to watch The Walking Dead, you probably know Frank Darabont isn't on there anymore. He actually left after the first season. Well, there was recently a, those of you don't know, he was the original showrunner. And apparently he's now suing AMC for firing him after its first season. And now because of that, he's basically decided he's going to go and burn all of his bridges.
Uh-oh.
As you do.
Uh-huh. Yeah, AMC released emails of him basically letting his rage loose upon everybody during that first season.
Yeah.
Includes a lot of stuff where he's threatening people.
Yeah.
I'm honest to God. Yeah. Let's see. Where's it at? My point here... No, where's it at? Oh, the director tries to not shoot what is written. The director is beaten to death on the spot. A trained monkey is brought in to complete the job. Everybody, especially our directors, better wake the fuck up and pay attention or I'll start killing people and throwing bodies at the door.
That was from 2011, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, he is so well-balanced.
I am in a state of absolute boiling rage right now. I just kept Denise on the phone for 20 minutes, making her listen to me scream. Hope she conveys to you what the tenor of it, because you need to grasp my fury. I've never been a screamer, but I am now. The work being done on this episode has turned me into one. Congratulations, you all accomplished what I thought was impossible. You turned me into a raging asshole. Thanks a lot, you fuckers. That's where I'll start killing people and throwing bodies out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Thing is from.
Wow.
Fuck you all. Let's see, and on personal notes, this is a different email. Fuck you all for giving me chest pains because of the staggering fucking incompetence, blindness to the important beats, and the beyond arrogant lack of regard for what is written beyond being exhibited on set every day. I deserve better than a heart attack because people are too stupid to read a script and understand the words. Does anybody disagree with me? Then join the C-Cam operator and go find another job that doesn't involve deliberately fucking up my show scene by scene.
This bitch needs an intervention.
Wow. Somebody's on something. That sounds like a dude's on crank.
Yeah, he's...
Yeah, here's another part. It's all in caps. It's a different email. You need to pay attention to the motherfucking script. I even choose my goddamn commas for a reason. Why am I working so fucking hard if you're shooting everything some other way that doesn't work?
Ah, Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, I get him having criticism for people, but this is just being an asshole. Such a degree that they just told him to go get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Where does this guy live? Because I hope I don't drive on the same roads as him.
I don't know.
I don't know where The Walking Dead was filmed, so...
Mm. Yeah. There's somebody here that makes a good point. If a man writes emails like this, he's a temperamental artist. If a woman in Hollywood wrote these, she'd never be employed again.
Mm. That is a good point.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, just look at Patty Jenkins. Still is in talks to direct the sequel. Because mm-hmm. the huge success didn't make that an obvious thing to get done right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not like she's a hack director. She's won an Oscar before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And had a successful outing. So.
And had no work for 14 years. After.
Yeah.
But hey, what's-his-face gets to keep directing DC movies.
Hmm. Yeah, Zack Snyder. Yeah. Well, he's kind of off of them for now.
Yeah.
Family issue.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. But yeah, before that, it was like, hey, you've not made a good movie in 10 years. Let's keep making our best movies. That we're trying to launch a multi-billion-dollar cinematic universe.
Yeah.
To compete with Marvel, and you're fucking it up each time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, speaking of movie news, so everybody knows right now Disney's gotten on this kick where they're going to start making live-action adaptations of their classic films.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. They've done The Jungle Book already. They've done Beauty and the Beast. Both of them were huge box office successes.
Yep. Sorry. Personal opinion came in there.
Well, apparently they're working on doing one for Aladdin, but the problem is they're actually having a big problem trying to find someone to fit as leads.
Really?
Yeah, apparently finding a male, as it says here in the story, but finding a male lead in his 20s who can both act and sing has proven difficult, especially since the studio wants someone of Middle Eastern or Indian descent.
Jesus fucking Christ, Bollywood.
Yeah, go to Bollywood. Yeah. You can find plenty of people there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say they've had about 2,000 actors and actresses read for the roles of Jasmine and Aladdin.
Yeah.
So apparently 2,000 people aren't... Nobody's good at that.
Yeah. I'm like, just go to India. It's like a whole industry over there made up entirely of young, good-looking 20-something people who both act and dance and sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like they're... But
no, forget, they also have to speak English.
Yeah. Well, see, a lot of them speak English,
they do,
too.
Yeah.
A lot of them do. Yeah.
And fluently, might I add.
Yeah. And they say here they... Disney likely believes that the male lead is going to be a newcomer. Sources say the studio's eyeing Power Rangers actress Naomi Scott, 24, or Indian actress Tara Sutaria, 21, to play Jasmine. But can't lock the deal until the male lead has been selected, since chemistry is so important to the story. Will Smith has signed on to play the genie.
What?
Of course he has.
That could work, actually.
I think the genie's probably going to be CG.
Yeah, well, definitely has to be.
Sources say the studio's... The
last thing you want to see is Will Smith popping out of a lamp.
I don't know if they could do it right. It might work. sources say the studio's after known quantity for the role of villain Jafar.
Yeah, I can already think of a few people who would, a handful of people who would make a good Jafar.
Yeah.
That won't be hard.
Yeah, that will not be difficult.
No.
Freaking, God, just a bunch, really. Anyway, so yeah, like I said, if they're really having trouble, all they got to do is fly down to India. They got plenty of candidates.
At least they're looking at, you know, candidates of
Middle Eastern. You know, yeah, they
the
actually. I will give them credit that they're trying not to. They're actively trying not to do any whitewashing.
Yeah, the next one they're looking at is Mulan.
Yeah.
So they're doing their casting search in China for that.
China, Taiwan, Hong Kong,
As long as they don't come up with that one Chinese actress that's getting forced into every big movie. It's because of the bankrollers being Chinese for many of these movies.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Marvel. Marvel's New Warriors. You know, that's going to be their... let's see.
That's a good one for them to do.
Yeah. It's going to be... It's going to be... It's a TV series, isn't it?
Yeah, Freeform.
Yeah. And they've already got the cast, including Squirrel Girl. Yep, Squirrel Girl's going to be in.
Milana, hey, Squirrel Girl. Milana Vayntrub, who you might know from the AT&T commercials.
Yep.
Damn it, she needed to go to Fox.
Yeah.
Deadpool has a complex.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a 10-episode series. They got the other roles. Derek Thieler of Baby Daddy is playing Mr. Immortal. There's Jeremy Tardy as Night Thrasher, Caleb Worthy as Speedball, Matthew Moy as Microbe, and Kate Comer
the
as
first generation
Debris.
Of New Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like a good pick for Squirrel Girl.
Yeah, this could definitely become their next Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Yeah, if they can pull it off.
Yeah. And because we got to see her Squirrel Girl.
Yeah.
Because she's going to make or break that series.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know this. Freeform is what used to be ABC Family.
Yep.
Hmm.
So that'll
That's right.
So
I have to figure out where the hell that is on my TV.
Yeah. Cable.
Well. Anyways. Let's see. Oh, yeah.
It's launching in 2018. The other series that Marvel is doing with Freeform is Cloak and Dagger.
Oh, right.
Which we saw a little while ago.
Yeah, we talked about it a while back.
All right. Well, so. Next up. So before he died, Michael Jackson actually did a animated Halloween special. And this fall, apparently this fall, they've dusted it off and cleaned it up, and it's going to air on CBS.
Huh.
Hmm. Wonder why now?
Gee, I wonder.
Start raking in some money from the Michael Jackson stuff.
Yeah.
Just now his estate is running all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Who is in this? Alan Cumming is in this. Brad Garrett, Lucy Liu, Jim Parsons, Lucas Till, Kiersey Clemons, Christine Baranski. The special follows millennials Vincent and Victoria, who meet accidentally on Halloween night and find themselves, along with Ichabod the dog, at a mysterious hotel located at 777 Jackson Street, called This Place Hotel. That's a really stupid name for a hotel.
Maybe that was one of the old Motown titles of a song or something.
Yeah, maybe. Once inside, Vincent and Victoria are sent on an adventure culminating special dance finale featuring an animated Michael Jackson.
Okay.
An animated Michael Jackson. All right.
Well, probably by animated, they mean like motion captured.
Yeah, or drawn.
Yeah, this whole thing is animated, so.
Hmm.
1 hour special airing on CBS this fall.
Hmm.
Which I saw Twitter was mad because they just heard there was an announcement from the Michael Jackson estate. It's like, oh, a new album. That'll be cool.
No.
No.
Here's a kids show.
Michael is not Tupac.
Eh.
No. I don't know how much stuff he had in the can, so.
Yeah.
Still maybe.
Want to look at France for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a lot in the can. Or had.
All right. Well, so. In more movie news, recently we found out what Quentin Tarantino's next project is going to be, and it's going to be about the Manson family.
Perfect.
And makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it?
Yep. And you want to, you know, profile crazy people, you go with Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah. So. Himself very much a crazy person.
Yeah.
But an amazing filmmaker nonetheless.
Yeah, so I'm sure it'll have lots of gratuitous violence.
Oh, yeah.
Probably have a lot of that, and maybe some surf rock for no apparent
reason. Surf rock, probably some racial slurs learned for some no reason, thrown about casually. Wonder who it is going to be playing Manson, though.
Hmm. That would be an interesting question.
John Travolta.
That would actually work really well. And so yeah, it's basically going to be about the Sharon Tate murders.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's the one that's the most high profile. Yeah. So
yeah,
I guess Roman Polanski's going to make an appearance as a character at some point, probably.
Yeah, they're still shopping it around for studios to finance and distribute it.
Yeah.
They're planning to shoot next summer. Let's see. Brad Pitt and Jennifer Lawrence have been approached to star in it.
So I'm definitely looking forward to it. We got another movie news, specifically comic and movie news. So who here used to read the Umbrella Academy? Because I did back in the when it was being released. For those you don't know, Umbrella Academy was written and created by Gerard Way.
Yeah.
From formerly of My Chemical Romance. And it's awesome. It's basically what Doom Patrol should have been for the last 10 years.
Gerard Way can pretty much do whatever he wants to and have it come out well, so.
Yeah. Speaking of which, he actually does write Doom Patrol now, but he, so Umbrella Academy is sort of his sort of Doom Patrol version. It is exceedingly bizarre. You can tell he's a Grant Morrison fan. Let's just put it that way. And there's only been two miniseries that have been put out, both available in trade paperback. But not only is it getting adapted, it's going to get a live-action adaptation on Netflix starting next year.
Yeah, it'll be a 10-episode series.
Yep.
Netflix is really doubling down on the comic book and animation adaptations.
That's where it's at.
Yeah, they are.
And so Steve Blackman, who produced Fargo and Netflix's Altered Carbon, is showrunner for this.
Uh-huh.
Executive producer alongside Way.
Mm-hmm. I knew Way would probably be involved in producing. I wonder if he'll do any of the music.
We can only hope.
Almost have to.
I would hope so. See, despite the fact that, you know, up until, like, their... Until, you know, the Black Parade came out. I kind of thought
That was Chemical such a good album.
Yeah, I thought My Chemical Romance was just kind of... Well, look at this way. If you look at the difference between their first album and Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge, you can see a definite change in the sound. Because the first album was more noisecore, but the second one's a bit more mainstreamy. Good, don't get me wrong, but so for a lot of people that band was kind of like a string of all those, you know, weepy emo type bands that frankly we all just got really sick of by the end of the first by the end of 2010. But then the Black Parade came out and it showed that holy shit, these guys got chops.
Yep. It made them the emo band that was okay to like out from outside the emo culture.
Yeah. So I would hope he does at least maybe the theme song at least.
Yeah.
And it seems this is part of a group that's called Universal Cable Productions that's producing it. They have a big deal with Dark Horse Comics to produce a variety of IPs for TV. So
I think Umbrella Academy's Vertigo, though.
Well, it says they got people from Dark Horse Entertainment as executive producers as well.
All right. Well, I mean, it's a creator-owned series, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, and finally, our ultimate story for the night. We finally know when the second season of Stranger Things is coming out.
Yes.
It's going to be on... October 27th.
It was originally Halloween, which is a Tuesday. They just moved it back to the Friday before. It's like
so you can binge it all over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we don't want people to binge us in the middle of the week. Let's do it for the weekend.
Yeah. I think what they really didn't want is for people to binge it instead of going out for Halloween.
Yeah.
So, good on Netflix for that.
Yeah. God knows Halloween's almost dead as a holiday anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And sort of alongside this, they announced that there are actual toys coming out from Funko. Not Funko Pops, but like actual like action figures.
Good.
Features 11 and a couple of the other kids. 11 has like a fake box of Eggos.
As of course,
that's pretty good. And they also got some Emmy nominations for Stranger Things. I'm not sure particularly who. I just know there's a video that David Harbour put up on his Twitter of him in the airport looking like a person in an airport, like celebrating. Let's see. Outstanding main title design, outstanding original main title theme music, outstanding music supervision, outstanding sound editing for a series. A lot of technical stuff here.
Outstanding characters, outstanding setting. Yeah, that show's really good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, outstanding guest actress. Well, I got a little video here, so I'm trying to scan through it. Outstanding supporting actress for Millie Bobby Brown. Outstanding guest actress for Shannon Purser. Well, that's the one girlfriend, friend of the main girl.
Oh, yeah.
Outstanding directing for a drama series, The Duffer Brothers. Yeah, and a bunch of technical stuff, which makes sense because there's a lot of great music and art design in that show.
Yeah.
And the new show, the new season looks great just with that ominous view of the boys on the road as there's this big giant fucking cloud and whatever the fuck monster is inside of it.
Yeah, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, I do believe we got a show, folks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so I would like to remind all of our listeners that if you want to write into the show, questions to ask, or something you want us to write on the air, you can contact us via letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. Also, on a bunch of different places, you can find our show: Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, Toaster Oven. In fact, if you look, do a good look inside your shower head, we're probably in there at this point.
You know, your musical toothbrush needs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Felipe Nalfo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Aloche, I'd like to say good night. Get some sleep out there. You still got 3.5 more years of this shit.